Good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming, especially for braving the cold of Florida over here. Anytime, you know, the weather begins with a six, people get all nervous. Oh, Chas Hashem, a five. But thank you everyone for coming. As I just mentioned, this week's share, we're doing in conjunction with this event organized by the National Association of Chevra Kedishas, which really does a lot in general for the Torah observant world in a lot with the afterlife, but they're also involved before that too. And they foresaw all the problems in the medical world today where so many different things that go on with end-of-life care. And they really started an organization to bring up awareness of the halachic Torah issues involved. And they have the Shabbos, as was mentioned, it's called the Team Shabbos, Traditional End-of-Life Awareness Movement. And last year we spoke about the topic of euthanasia, the value of life. This week we'll do a different topic. This year we'll do a different topic. But really this organization in general poses such a critical need in the from Torah observant world. I think a story that happened last week depicts it. There was a case of a prominent secular Israeli woman who unfortunately passed away. She had a relatively young age. This woman, her family went through multiple tragedies. Her husband died in a tragic way. A child died in a tragic way. And this woman decided that she did not want to be buried, rather to be cremated. Because she didn't want her family to go through another levaya, another funeral, another burial. Now, al pi Torah, al pi halacha, obviously you can't judge any individual. In that particular case, you don't want to, no one wants to come into their shoes. But the concept, the idea of not going through the motions, the halachic dictates for proper kavod ames is a tragedy on top of a tragedy. And, you know, whatever secular idea crept into this woman's mind, the while it would be better to be cremated, but if the person would be knowledgeable, understand the Torah perspective, you know, we believe b'emunah shleima in tchiyas ha'masim. We believe b'emunah shleima of the concept of schar va'onesh, of a next world. And, you know, this person's a loving person who appreciated and loved their family, loved themselves. How can you deny yourself that kavod achron to be buried? Like, it's not even, you know, it's a more basic human concept of burial. And that's why in the world today, whatever we could do to focus on these concepts, the better. Not just for ourselves, but for whoever we come in contact with. And I know in this community itself, I've seen multiple emails, multiple campaigns for, you know, we live in Florida. You know, besides the Sunshine State, maybe you could call it the Sunset State. And many people come here in their older years, and there's a need many times to influence people to take care of their end-of-life situations in the right Torah halakhic way. And many times it gets tricky. And Baruch Hashem, this community is Chevra Kedisha, this community is Askanim, are very involved in many times making sure that even in situations there aren't people to bury them. Make sure that everyone deserves a Kavod Acharon. So that's something which, that's chief and foremost what this organization does, and we should all definitely support their work. But today's topic, what I'd like to focus on, the title is My Parents' Keeper, Halachically Navigating Their Medical Needs. When I came up with this topic, it was sent out to people, the share is going to be on this, I got a lot of responses. Unfortunately, a chaver of mine sends me an email, I'm by my parents' bedside. You don't know how relevant in Yoni Dioma this year is. I had another chaver come over to me and said, yes, I've been dealing with this issue for years. There are so many questions that I have. And he gave forth a few questions, which was also quite helpful in preparing the share. Fortunately, this is an issue that, you know, many people have to deal with on both sides of the spectrum. People have to deal with it sometimes as a child, sometimes people deal with it on the other side as a parent. And there are many delicate halakhic issues, family issues involved, and it's a type of thing which the more it's thought out, planned out, talked out ahead of time, a lot of times it's this type of discussion or this type of insight to understand the issues help for to work it out. You know, chas v'shalom, that stage of a person's life, you can have families which are, Baruch Hashem, close-knit and everything, v'shalom. It gets to a parent's care when they're sick, or chas v'shalom, post that. That's, you know, you sometimes have families fighting over all different things. And the more that people are able to get on board, on the same page, choose a psak of a rav that they're both comfortable with, the parents, the children, all the children, that's a means for being marba shalom in the world. It's a means people could sometimes die in peace. And all these things, you know, put for care the other way. You know, if a family works together in the best possible way, they could find the best solutions to help out their family to get a refuah shleima. And it's a circumstance that needs tremendous degree of siyata d'shmaya, of help from Shemayim. What better way to get help if everyone works together? So that's a topic which I'd like to address today. I'm not going to cover everything. Really, it's yefshel afartam ki rabam heim. There's so many different pratim, and really, scenarios like this, I can't emphasize enough. There are so many individual circumstances based on the families, based on the communities, based on so many things that those factors are important in a rav helping the family make a decision. And what we're going to give forth today are general rules. But of course, when the practical question comes to a family, they should discuss it with all their color of their personal family issues with a rav, perhaps even the rav who knows them and understands them, where they're coming from. First issue that I would touch on is definitely a very touchy issue. The unfortunate situation, a parent who is not well and cannot live by their own, by themselves, can't live on their own. And it comes to the step, so what should we do? Should we put mom, should we put a parent in a nursing home? Or should we bring her into our own home, live with us? What should we do? Heart-wrenching, agonizing situation. So I'd like to go through halakhic issues involved in it. I was lucky. I came across a sefer. I have sefer Avnei Zikaron. It's a sefer written by a Rav Zilberstein from Eretz Yisrael. He's a grandson of Rav Yashav, and his father, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, is a big posek in Bnei Brak. It's actually he's written dozens upon dozens of svarim on all types of halacha, including a lot to do with medical halacha. Art School itself has published many of his svarim. There's a few more. Other publishing companies now have put forth tremendous, tremendous, wonderful Talmud Chacham of Zilberstein. So Rav Zilberstein, the father, has a kuntres in the back of this sefer on Hilchos Kibud Av V'Aim, but I went through many of the shilos are really involving medical issues. The first issue he deals with is this shiloh. Should I, one, take care of a parent in their own home versus putting them into an institution, into a nursing home? The first thing that I would say emerges from reading through the tshuva is ideal, in a perfect world, you do have two options. Of course, there's an option for take the parent, sometimes it's even a grandparent, into a home, into your own home, and care for them there. And putting into a nursing home is also a valid halachic option. You know, especially in the world today, you know, the nursing home business, it's a business, but you know, there are a lot of Jews involved in running the business, especially a situation where you have connections and you know people involved, and you're very comfortable with the care. There are nursing homes that provide, you know, solid care for a parent. And sometimes the situation could be, in a nursing home, they might get better care than in a home, depending on the situation. You know, the lifestyle, the busyness, how hectic home is. And really, those are two options to weigh. Is it better to put mom or dad in, bring them to our house? Or should we put them in a nursing home? First step, potentially in evaluating that question, is what's best for them. Where would be the better environment for them to stay healthy, or in this case, to sometimes get healthy, to get better, to sustain them, that they should be ma'arich yomim? Where's the better scenario? Would they get better care and be better for them to stay by us? Or would they get better care in a nursing home? That's the first shiloh. What's better for them? And as we said, that question, what's better for them, sometimes the answer is a home. And some will argue, many times the answer is to bring them into your house. Because who's going to care for mom and dad better than me? Okay? Me'idak Yisrael, sometimes the scenario, you know, there are so many different health concerns that people have. And, you know, a caring child might always want to opt, look, I'll bring them into my house. But it depends also what medical issues they have. Some medical issues are so dangerous and so could change on a dime. And you have to talk to the doctors. You have to get good advice. Sometimes the doctors say, no, they need care that they could be with them in a moment if chas v'shalom something goes wrong. If you're at work and who's home with mom or dad, or even if you have an aide, but that aide is not as well trained as a staff in a nursing home, so then maybe the right scenario, despite the fact you're ready to do it, is to put him in the home, in the nursing home. So it's a complicated decision, but the first defining factor is what's better for them. Sometimes it'll be bring them into your home, but sometimes it might be bring them to a nursing home. Yes.
They almost never want to go to a nursing
home. Oh.
Okay. And the other thing is that if you, I served as a caregiver for my father for a number of years before his demise, it puts a tremendous strain on you, the caregiver.
Excellent. So I'm going to get to those two issues. Yes.
But you're also, you're missing one component that in terms of the gradations of fear, because I also have a lot of personal and professional experience on this. There are many, many people, when you're comparing the home versus a nursing home, you're usually talking about having a highly qualified nursing professional as an aide. The aide tends to be, the one you're going to get, tends to be highly professionally well-trained.
Right.
So when you compare apples to apples,
right, correct. I thought I alluded to that point too, that when you're grading those two issues, right, a nursing home does have aides, does have staff that are there 24/7 that are well trained. You're right. And that's a factor. You have to look into it. Yes. Now, two issues I just brought up before, I'll touch upon. You're right. The first issue I talked about in general, what's better for the parent? What about if the parent doesn't want to go to a nursing home? Now, I don't think it's fully true. You know, it depends on the situation, depends on the scenarios. Sometimes they don't want to go, sometimes perfect care, they don't want to bother and put a burden, the second issue you brought up, on the children, and they do want to go to a nursing home. And again, well, I hope to deal with that issue in more depth a little bit later, what to do with objections of parents to what the children want to do. Well, that's its own topic. But really, you're right. The second issue involved here is what about the burden on the children? Yes, of course, that's a factor. Now, there's multiple layers in this, Shiloh, burden of a child. First, I'll speak out. Let's talk about the financial strain. How does it work with the financial issues involved in caring for a parent when they're older? How does that work? So that's a Beferish Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, Yeridea, Simin Reish Mem. None of these marmakomos are yet on the sheet. There's a lot to do here. Shulchan Aruch rules, this is Machlokas in the Gemara, is kibud av mishel av u mishel bein. Who has to pay for the child doing kibud av ein? In general, this is a neutral shiloh sometimes. Hey, mom and dad want you to come visit for Pesach. Who pays for the tickets? So, oh, it's tricky. Is that exactly the scenario? Not. Okay. The Gemara has a Machlokas. So in the Gemara, there are two tzadim. The halacha, Shulchan Aruch paskins, Simin Reish Mem, Sif Hey, that we paskin Mishal Av, that the financial obligations really rest on the parent. Which means that there's no obligation on a child, Mitzad Kibud Av Eim, to spend the bill to support a child, to support a parent. Now, of course, you know, in a scenario where, Rahman Atzlan, the parents don't have any money, and let's say it takes some time to get onto Medicaid, and they need help, Ein lecha chesed gadol mizeh, Ein lecha tzedakah gadol mizeh, mi besorcha al tesaleh, and the Torah says, when it comes to tzedakah, your family comes first. Of course, a person should do whatever they can financially to help out their parents in a scenario like that. But okay, but that's tzedakah, that's not kibud av ein. I saw another shadow brought down. Let's say you have a scenario like that, and one child in the family puts out the money. There would be a responsibility on the other siblings to pay that off. It's not, shouldn't necessarily fall on the burden of one sibling. The other siblings should chip in, even to the extent there are shilohs la'achar misa with Yerusha, the child who helped pay for the health care, the medical care, would have the right to collect that before the other siblings. Now, obviously, Yerusha things could be very We have lawyers here ready to litigate. I see them salivating at the mouth.
No, I have a game point on my wall that says blood is thicker than water, but money is thicker than blood.
Blood is thicker than water, but money is thicker than blood. Well put for a lawyer. But these things, unfortunately, are not laughing matters. People get very heated, and it's an unfortunate thing. So whatever degree these halachas could become clear, a lot of times other siblings don't know about this. I didn't know that this halacha, that if you're helping pay for mom and dad's expenses, really we should all be chipping in. You know, as long as everyone knows the halachas and they're talked out, that could alleviate lots of litigation. So I saw an interesting shaila they posed to Rabbi Yashav. This is also found in the Sefer Avnei Zikaron. He asked, so taking my parent into my home, am I exempt from doing that because the halakha and kibbutz aim is I don't have to take any financial responsibility for my parents. So taking them to my home, maybe I should be exempt from that. So Rabbi Yashav said back, that's not an exemption. Because unless the room in your house you're renting out, it's a guest house you have here in Florida, and you're renting out for vacationers, okay, so then there's a loss. That would be an issue maybe involved. But if it's just a room in your home, simply that's not viewed as a financial loss. And one would have an obligation to keep it of the aim to, if that's the best scenario for a parent, to open up your house to them.
Would you be allowed to charge the parent rent?
So, again, in a scenario where you have a vacation home, where you have a vacation home, or the room in your house. Buddy, does your parents charge your rent? So the answer is no, your parents do not charge your rent, and no, you should not charge your parents rent in general for being in your house. And you can't eke out money from your siblings just because you're the one to have them in your home. However, if you did have a loss, if you're putting your parents in your next door your home, your vacation home next to them, you lost money out of that, yes, that would be a different scenario. And that would be something that one should save the receipts for. Yes?
There's also food costs. And
yes.
Towards the Yerusha, forget the direct
event.
Towards the Yerusha, food costs and transportation costs.
That's a good question. What was asked is, okay, Rabbi, I understand Rabbi Yosef's psak in terms of the room and board. But what about travel expenses, food expenses, and the like? It's a good question. I assume average food costs, look, if you had a guest in your home, you know, you wouldn't charge them for food, transportation, but if you had an extended guest, you wouldn't have a guest stay for 3 months or 3 years or 10 years. So yeah, that might be something that there would be compensation for. That's different, you know, same type of thing that the siblings should understand, that if one party one sibling is bearing the brunt of it, you know, other people should chip in. Yes?
You have to take off work to take care of them, so you lose your parnassah.
Interesting. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. What about the loss of work? You have to take off time to care for them. And how would that work out? Yeah. That would be like a vacation rental, that would sound like. And
that's
oh, except it's the people tiny back. That's a loss of a gain. Would we say that legabe hufus chol moed? Right. It's interesting. The world is becoming more friendly for, let's say, you know, now men get off paternal leave, right? For taking care of a child, right? Depends where you work, what your job is. I heard friends of mine.
You're allowed to take it, but it doesn't mean you get paid for it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay. So check your local laws. But
it also depends on how much weight the father gave during the pregnancy.
So, yes, there are many expenditures, issues that we could debate and talk about what would be in such a scenario. But I want to jump to the next case. Forget about the financial burden. What about the emotional burden? Now, the emotional burden obviously is a challenge. And every scenario is different. And you can't give general, you know, you could give general rules, but obviously I can't paskin on every individual Shiloh. You have to know and lay out your cases. How does it affect your children? How does it affect the running of a home? Spouses, everything has to be taken into account. Sometimes people try doing it, and after a while it gets a little harder. Okay? So you can't, it might be something that you would have to reevaluate and revisit that psak halacha multiple times. If it is too much of a burden on a son, I'll show you in a minute why I'm talking about a son. So then, and they would get, therefore, at that point, better care in a nursing home. So the halacha would be that one would be allowed to put them into a nursing home. And it's brought down, if this would therefore be the better situation for the health of a parent, that would be, as we'll talk in a moment soon, even against their will. And that's something which is obviously an agonizing scenario. You'd want to be the one to take care of them, but it's too much of a burden on a person's home. Now, that's an important step on both sides of the equation to realize. For the child to realize what the burden is being, and for the parent to realize that same thing. And obviously that's a very, very tricky situation, and not poshut, especially in a scenario where the parent doesn't want that. That's the toughest of shilohs, and this has to be clearly worked out with a posik, with a rav, what the right thing is. Now, let me just go back one step. When I said this halacha over, I talked about if it's too hard on the son. The reason for that, a very important halacha in Kibud Av Va'Em, is there's a major difference between a son and a daughter. Once someone gets married, a woman gets married, their responsibility is towards their husband. And being the fact the responsibility is towards their husband, they have to get rishus first and foremost from the husband. And it's not simple necessarily. Therefore, in a scenario where it's, you know, usually, the parents, I guess that they have a choice. Should they stay by their son or their daughter? You know, sometimes it's easier to, quote unquote, stay by their daughter. But halakhically, it's not as poshut. Because halakhically, the daughter, first and foremost, has her obligation to her husband. And Kibud Av Va'Em, vis-a-vis her parents, is only where the husband is most, or the husband allows. Now, I say this halacha over gently in the 2018 world, and people, you know, might look at this askance. I don't know who's viewing this on the internet. But you have to balance and understand halacha that marriage comes with certain shibudim and certain responsibilities, and it's not a means, chas v'shalom, of degrading women. It's perfect care. It's, women have a tremendous value in running a home. And that's first and foremost their tafkid b'chayim when they're married. And caring for a parent is really a secondary responsibility. So really in life, it's very important. We just had this list. I brought the Talmidim of Shmuel Kamenetsky, Shlito and the Gedolei Ador, was here in Florida this weekend. So we brought them, spend time with them. And the message he gave was this message, to understand what it means, a person's tafkid in life, a person's purpose in life, and to balance that and not to be, you know, distracted by things which are not our tafkid, not our goal, not the purpose why we're here in life. And that's really where a woman has to juggle roles. Once she's married, she has a responsibility to her spouse, her children first. And, you know, of course, whatever she could do to help out a parent, not over my nine, but it's a matter of juggling responsibilities.
The sandwich generation.
Yeah. And this generation is balancing many things on sandwiches, smartwatches, smartphones, everything that works. And then we'll see how good a job we're balancing it all. Yes?
Okay, just to complicate things a little more.
Oh, if it wasn't complicated enough.
Yeah, just let me know if you would apply potentially the same rules. Frequently, you find where you're balancing all these constraints, you have two parents. So you brought into your home your mother and father. And it's potentially better for one of them to be in the home, but that in and of itself is causing excessive burden to the other. So mom is taking care of dad, and it's, so to speak, killing mom.
I see you shopping.
It's better to send, even though for him it's not better, but it would
be
better.
So my Flamos, I get your question. I see you're a frequent shopper at Publix.
Yeah.
Publix is famous for their BOGOs. Buy one, get one. So you're telling me, which I thought of the scenario, that sometimes you could have a situation where one parent is sick and really needs care, and unfortunately the other parent can't do it by himself or herself, and you're bringing both of the parents into the home. And then when you're weighing the situation of the burdens and the challenges, you're really weighing buy one, get one. It's a package deal. You know, it's mom and dad. And you're right. That all is part of the equation. It's one big purchase you're making. It's one of those things. I didn't see Poskim discuss this beferish, but this is one of the many pratim which I think add to, you're right about that, the complicated scenario. And it would be not poshut. Perhaps, you know, I could definitely hear that tzad, that even, you know, we're sort of judging what's best for the chola, but at the same time, it's within the picture of the whole situation. And the same way that what affects your family is part of the situation, of course, that other side is also part of it.
The same equation with the daughter, the mother is mechuyev to the father. In other words, she's got a responsibility to her father, depending on who it is.
So this area, I think, is, I'm putting out the general issues involved, home care versus nursing homes, and they're complicated. This, I think, is the most touchy. When originally I was debating this issue, I was going to leave this whole section out, because I felt it was just too complicated and too touchy. But I figured I should at least put down the general rules of it. I'll touch on that. And this way, whatever we can do to at least talk it out ahead of time, people know of these heart-wrenching decisions, and hopefully help people make better informed, halakhically wise decisions in these areas. The second point.
It's a rule of thumb that your Yerusha, it's better if it goes to your therapist than to your divorce lawyer.
I had to say that one over. Right, he says when it comes to Yerusha, he thinks it's better to go to your therapist than your divorce lawyer. I see divorce lawyers are not your friends.
Divorce is the law of psychology.
Yes. But
it's family law, come on.
The next area I'd like to touch upon is my son, the doctor. Right? You know, the famous saying, what does every good Jewish mother want? My son, the doctor. Right? Not just so she could go walk around and tell everybody that her son's a doctor, but, you know, it's a Jewish tradition. Right? I remember one year for Purim, my wife at that point worked in a medical office running the finances over there. She got me a nice white coat, a nice white frock. I dressed up for a doctor in Purim. Visited my mother. I said, here's the doctor coat, you know, I never got. You know, I'd be closer to a black frock than a white frock. But, okay. I had my nice white frock. I don't know, it said doctor, some name in Greek, but whatever. Anyway, there's a major shayla in halacha. What happens if a child, a son, or in this today's day, right, a daughter is a doctor, let's start off a surgeon. could they perform an operation on the parent? And the halachic issue involved is the Torah writes a specific iser, and this you could find on your sheets. There's a specific iser of a person not harming, not being mekalo, the Torah talks about, but also giving a chabura, wound, to a parent. And opening up a person to any degree is a chabura, is a wound. Is one allowed to do that as an operation for a parent? And I was thinking about the shaila, and I realized it's not only appropriate such a shaila for surgeons, really it affects all of us. It doesn't have to be my father, my son, the doctor. Let's say you're administering a shot, an injection, right? Any injection which would make a wound on a parent seemingly would also fall into this category. The Shulchan Aruch even talks about removing a splinter from a parent. Now, really, this could happen in any scenario, but Kol Shekein, if parents are living in your home, these things come up all the time. You're caring for them, you're doing things for them. Parent needs a shot, Chas Shalom, parent has a diabetes issue and needs insulin constantly. Different things. You're pricking a parent. Is one allowed to do that? Very important, Shaila. Now, if we're in a scenario where it's absolute pikuach nefesh, you're the only doctor who could do it, then of course, you're the only person who could do it. Pikuach nefesh is tocha kol Torah kula. Of course, you're 100% allowed to wound a parent if it's going to save their life. No question about it. The debatable scenario is where it's less than that. It's not mamish bikuach nefesh. The life is not on the line, but it's some medical need. Now you'll say, okay, well, every medical need can lead to another, another, another. Okay, but what? So what does one do in that scenario? So the minchas chinuch, it's on your sheets, Os Beis. Minchas chinuch, paskins halacha, it's mutter. A child would be allowed to do a surgery, give a shot or anything to a parent. The Torah says, liachbo, one can't wound them. So he says, just like it comes, not also not supposed to hurt another Jew. Let's say, though, the person's machal, the scenario I give in yeshiva, you know, birthday punches. Yeah, everyone's okay. It's your birthday. How many times will I hit you? So in such a scenario, guy's mochel, halacha, Mar and Baba Kama says it's okay. So too, the Minchas Chinuch Paskins, a parent wants you to perform the surgery on them. They want you to give them the shot. So one would be allowed, the Minchas Chinuch argues, Simen Memchas, to do it. However, the Shagas Aryeh, and the Sefer Turi Evan argues, and he says there's a big difference. It might be true that one could damage their friend, could physically hurt their friend, if the friend's mochel, I'm up for a boxing match. But he says this is much different. It's a different iser. The iser, when it comes to a parent, is a different iser than just being mazik another person. Those two cases are not comparable. You can't compare those two cases. Just because there's a heter on wounding another person doesn't mean that same heter applies to a parent. Parent, it's a higher darga. You're embarrassing them. It's a bizayon to their kavod. Especially a parent who's hukash kavod and kavod amakam. The Torah compares honoring one's parents to honoring Hashem. Right? That's the famous vart. Why is kibbal ve'eim on the right side of the luchos? Because it really has an element of Bein Am L'Makom, connects to Hashem. And one wouldn't be able to just go and wound a parent. That doesn't work. And therefore, the Torah Evan argues back. Sounds like a pretty solid argument. Shulchan Aruch, on top of your sheets, in Reish Mem Aleph, Yerodeus, and in Reish Mem Aleph, Paskins, the following halacha, I'll read it quickly inside. Hayakotz tachav la'aviv, if there's a thorn inside one's father, loitzeenu. One shouldn't take it out. Shema yavol lost bo chavurah, because he might come to make a wound. V'chein make his dumb in those days if he was bloodletting. O rofe lo yakas dum la aviv lo yachtach lo aver. You shouldn't be the one to do bloodletting. You shouldn't perform a surgery. Aval pishem is chavim lefur. Even though your intention is to heal him. Hagah, that's the machaber. The Ramah qualifies. The medramur and b'shiyesham achalasos. Obviously, we're only talking in a scenario where there's someone else to do it. Avum ain't shem achalasos for whom it's sire. Harayu makiz v'chosef lo kafima shiyirshu lasos. If there's no one, if there's someone else to do it, then you should let someone else. But if there's no one else, of course, in that scenario, and the parent is in pain, you can relieve the pain. You could help them by doing it. And, okay. So this halakha, I saw brought down in many different poskim, it gets tricky. So, we live in a world today, for the most part, you know, Baruch Hashem, there's no shortage of doctors. So, you can even get another Jewish doctor. So, if it's a question of you performing the surgery or somebody else, get your colleague to do it, ideally. Because there is an issue involved. That Shagasari fought right back. Not so simple. That is a concern. So if you can get someone else to do it, fine. But if you can't, then even if it's not Pikuach Nefesh, again, Pikuach Nefesh is off the table. Of course, there's no one else to do something, of course you do it. But where it's less than that, helping them out medically, so then one, if could find someone else, ideally do that. But if not, then one could do it. Yes?
Is a grandchild a step away? In other words, like, would they be second in line, but if there's a third person who
so I left out grandparents in this scenario. Right? Flamos was talking to me about all everything else, but he left out grandparents. So I think I did give a share last year about the halachas of kibud al va'im for grandparents, which is not necessarily the same halacha as the parents. Major issues involved there. Check out the share. I forgot which number. But yes, that's a different complication.
What happens if the parent specifically requests help?
Oh.
That happens sometimes also. Meaning, the
yes.
parent says,
I'm about to get to that. I'm about to get to that. So I found two more modern-day poskim that speak out interesting points here. The Aruch HaShulchan. Where's David? The Aruch HaShulchan over here in Reish Mem Aleph allows this heter, if there's no one else to do it, you should be the one to do it, applies in a scenario, even if there are other people, but you do it better. If you're a better trained or more highly qualified doctor than someone else to perform this procedure, 100%, even if there's someone else to do it, if you're better trained, you're more qualified, one should do it there. And the Geshar HaChaim adds even more. He adds a scenario, let's say like this, very simple. It all comes down to the bottom line. If I go to the hospital, if I go to the doctor's office, boy, quite a bit of copays I have to pay for that. Insurance doesn't cover it all. If my son does it, it's free. The Geshar HaChaim says, that's also considered as no one else to do it. You could go and do it. An advantage, the Aruch HaShulchan said, if he's better, you could go to the son over someone else. The Geshar HaChaim of Tuchinsky from Eretz Yisrael goes even further. He says, if it'll save your parents money, money's also worth something. A lot, sometimes, in these scenarios. So, yes, one could go to parents too. Some people debate his psak, but I believe this is definitely a tzad to say such a thing. And really with that, we the Aruch HaShulchan and the Geshar HaChaim are opening up the definition here that it's not just simple, you versus somebody else. Even where there are somebody else, but there's some advantage to the son and comfortability and trust might also be an advantage, right? Anytime a person's choosing a doctor, part of it, you sit with them for a consultation, how much will I trust this individual? So that's a factor too. And yeah, if a son is someone that you trust more in this, okay, maybe. Yes?
What about a daughter-in-law? Or on that matter, a daughter-in-law to the father versus a daughter-in-law to the mother? And that man's the...
Are you Chavrusa's Rabbi Flamholtz?
Actually, yes.
So... people want to bring up all different family connections, daughter-in-laws, mother-in-laws, father-in-laws, siblings.
There's no thing to keep up to a daughter-in-law. All these servants go stop.
So that's not so simple, right? That I didn't touch that topic yet here in this share, but there are obligations of keep it over aim. Maybe not the same. Of right. Of father-in-laws, mother-in-laws. My mother-in-law might be watching one day. Yes, we'll talk about that. There, of course, there are chiyuvim to keep it of aim to mother-in-laws too, father-in-laws too. We'll talk about it. Right. 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 Everyone's saying that joke. I heard a better joke. What do you call a father-in-law? A shver. What do you call a mother-in-law? In Yiddish, it's called gor shver. Means really, shver is also means bad.
Difficult.
So difficult. Yeah. So gor shver means way difficult.
Really?
They say the difference between in-laws and outlaws is that outlaws are wanted.
Right, that's the American version. In-laws and outlaws. Okay, so all these issues are potential issues, especially if one takes a parent into the home where there will be medical needs that many times, convenience-wise, you're the one there. Can one be involved in doing it? So it depends. There are issues involved. You're right. It might be the type of thing where maybe it's better for the daughter-in-law to do it versus a son, and vice versa. Yeah. And finally, which is another big issue to get into, is what happens in a situation where it's clear medically that the best thing for the parent is against the parent's wishes. Can one ignore a parent's request, ignore the normal mitzvah of kibbutz of aim for the parent's welfare and well-being? Now, the basis for such a heter, which does exist, is a Sefer Chassidim in the back of your sheets. I'll quickly share it with you. Sefer Chassidim writes, Ma'isa be'echa shechala, situation, one person who was sick. The doctor came. If you drink this water, this is going to have an adverse effect against you. You're being in sakana. If you eat these foods, then you're being in sakana. But then the father tells the son, give me this food. If you don't give it to me, I'm never going to forgive you. Boy, tough parent. I'm not going to forgive you in this world or next. The halacha is, ignore his words. Now, this case of the Sefer Chassidim over here in Siman Reish Laman Daled, the Lashon is clearly mashma. We're talking in a case where it's sakana. Where there's sakanas nefashos involved, and a parent tells you to seemingly ignore medical advice, the halacha is you're supposed to ignore the parent. And the understanding of this is we all know there's a simple mitzvah, which is the mitzvah we're dealing with over here, of nishmartim nafshoseicha. One has to be very careful to protect themselves, stay healthy. And a parent who tells you to transgress any aver in the Torah, even in the Rabbanans, there, the halacha of kibbutz of aim does not apply. And in this scenario, the parent is really asking the child to ignore the halacha in the Torah, to transgress the halacha in the Torah of nishmarta nafshal seichem. So therefore, one would not listen to a parent. Now, I saw the poskim, the Knesset Gedolah, for example, takes this idea of the Sefer Chassidim and takes it one step further. This halacha does not only apply in a case of Sakanas Tefashos. It even applies in a scenario where it's not Sakanas Tefashos, but it will medically hurt the person. It will be damaging to one's health. Even in such a scenario where it's damaging to one's health, the halacha would be that one does not have to listen to a parent. Now, I want to jump through a few things.
If they're asking you to bring them the item, and they ingest it themselves, the worst case scenario is with the ether.
Yes and no, right? If you're bringing them the item and they're doing it to themselves, so you're saying that's only lifnei iver.
You should talk to them what they're doing.
I'm not sure. I hear that, perhaps. Depends how you even the shmartim nafshal seichem. Is that it's the mice of the shmartim nafshal seichem? Or is it more general? You're deliberately bringing them something that, you know, especially, right, okay, not every, right. Every scenario, they could get it without you. And here, where, you know, it's critical, you know, we'll get to it in a second. Parent says, don't bring me to the hospital. Don't take me to the doctor. I don't want to go. Even a scenario that's not life-threatening, but it's bad for their health, halach would be one should ignore them. One should do what's in their best interest. If their best interest is to take them to the hospital, the doctor would prescribe in this scenario, you have to bring them in, and you have to bring them in. I'll tell you another scenario. I want to go through a few halachas. And this comes up, unfortunately, too. You're dealing with a sick parent, and the doctor gives a diagnosis. The diagnosis of Rahman's son is bad. Does one have a right to withhold that information from a parent? Parent says, tell me what the doctor says. Does one have a right to withhold that information? So I found, Zilberstein brings down that 100% one is allowed to hold back that information. In most scenarios, there might be some scenarios where the right thing is to tell them, it might have an impact on it, but one is allowed to withhold that information. And the reason is because you're not supposed to be mitzar. Kibbo v'aim is supposed to protect the parent, not supposed to be mitzar them. And unfortunately, a diagnosis, a blunt diagnosis, is something which is only mitzar people, in most scenarios. In a scenario where it'll help them get better, then that's different. But in a scenario where it's just going to give them pain, there might be something that you have to know, and maybe share with siblings and other people, but to whatever degree that one could weaken the blow and hide that from a parent. You know, these halachas apply not just their own diagnosis. You know, sometimes there's scenarios, older parents, and, you know, they could even have cases where a sibling dies and they would have to normally sit shiva. But emotionally, it'd be too tough on the state of the parent to know that their sibling passed away. Halacha, many times poskim will tell you, you don't have to tell them. Even though you're pushing off, you know, halachas of Shiva, onus rachmana patri, they're not up to that, to doing it. And this would be marach yamim, would be mitzire them, and it's the right thing to do. An additional thing, you have scenarios, let's say, especially in a person's caring for the parent in their house, and the parent, you know, wants to do something that's detrimental to them. Let's say they're on the machine, rip off the, rip off the tubes, turns things off, and the only way to stop them is to physically restrain them. So there, I saw Nissen Karelitz. Posek in B'nai Brak says where you have to physically, quote unquote, beat a parent, stop a parent from doing that. ideally, in that scenario, it's better to get someone else to do it. You shouldn't be the one to do that. But obviously, if there's no one else, Sakas Lefashos, 100% the person can do it. So all these shilas are really absolutely gut-wrenching. They're challenging things to talk about, challenging things probably to listen to. But to whatever degree we get a better understanding in, I think, these three big issues we talked about today, home care versus health versus nursing homes, surgery or inflicting pain on a parent, and the last scenarios of ignoring the parents' own wishes for their own welfare, are all tough, delicate shilas, but there are halakhic issues involved. And I just want to conclude, and I'll take additional questions after. This week's parsha, you have an amazing, came across an amazing chazal. Torah says that Yaakov ended up living for 17 years in Mitzrayim. For those 17 years, Yosef was constantly taking care of the needs of his father. And the Chizkuni makes a point of the fact, you might have seen this in some publication this week, but, what's her moment? But I should advertise them online. Everyone wants to subscribe to Musar Moment, amusarmoment@gmail.com. But you look over there, the Chizkuni writes that this was sort of mida keneged mida, or hakar satov, payback Yosef was doing for his parents for taking care of him for 17 years before he was sold off into slavery. 17 versus 17. And the interesting question one might ask is, do you think Yosef took care of his father Yaakov Avinu just because of the 17 years he took care of him when he was a kid? Of course not. Yosef would do anything for his parents. He respected his father, loved him so much. He had all the means to take care of him. So what does that have to do with the 17 years that his father took care of him? But I believe the pshat is, Sapi Moser, is that Hakar Satov builds a stronger motivation within a person. One of the greatest motivating factors a child can have vis-a-vis a parent is Hakar Satov. Look what you did for me. When I was a kid, you did so much. You spared no expense, no effort to take care of me. If, unfortunately, this life cycle, when you have to take care of them, it's always a burden. It's always a challenge. But if you view it from the means of Hakar Satov, then it could be not a challenge. And, you know, 17 years is a bargain, you know, to take care of a parent for really what they do for you, even when it comes to 17 years. And Yosef would do everything for a parent because, look, my parents did so much for me. We should all be zocha by learning these halachas. We don't come to these scenarios, and we should all be zocha to see time of Tchias HaMeisim and Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mheira V'yameinu. Amen.